In the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 20, which is the third to last chapter in the Bible, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, describes the day of judgment. Let's read from that passage, Revelation 20, 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose feet the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We have recently studied about that place of the lake of fire that is in the Greek language of the New Testament, described with the word Gehenna. And we studied about the origins of that place and how that came to be the word for hell as we know it, as taught in the Bible, that place, that eternal destination for Satan and his angels, and also will be the eternal destination for all those who are not written in the book of life, who according to their works are judged and not found to be righteous. And so that place is what is what we know of as hell, Gehenna, the lake of fire. This other word for hell that's mentioned a couple of times in that passage in Revelation chapter 20, when he says that death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and that death and hell were cast in the lake of fire, that's Hades, the unseen world. And so that's where the dead go after this life. We covered that also in our recent study, but that we read about in Luke 16 when the rich man died and he was in a place of torment, whereas the beggar Lazarus was on the other side of the gulf, comforted in Abraham's bosom, that place that in the scriptures referred to as paradise, where Jesus went when he died, and that repentant thief also went there, as Jesus told him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Of course, Jesus was resurrected on the third day, so his spirit left that unseen world, and he was resurrected, and then he ascended to his Father in heaven, where he sits on his right hand. But those who, all others who have died are in that unseen world, that place, that temporary place awaiting the end of the world and then judgment day, which will come at that time after the end of the world and the resurrection. But the unseen world is going to, which is Hades, is going to deliver up all those spirits that are there, all who've ever died. They're going to come and there's going to be a resurrection of all on that last day. And then will be the day of judgment. Now, those that are in the torment side of Hades, of course, they're going to then, as he says there, be cast into that lake of fire. So here this morning, we want to study about this day of judgment that he's describing there in Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15. What's going to come to pass when this world is brought to an end? It was not that long ago that we engaged in a study. It was a series of lessons about the end of the world and the fact that there's not going to be a regeneration or a renewal of this earth, that this earth is not going to last forever in any form, that this material or physical world, this universe that God made, is finite and will have an end and will be brought to an end. And then is going to come the resurrection and the day of judgment. After that day of judgment, then all mankind will spend their eternity in one of two places, either in heaven, where God is and where his Son is, or in that lake of fire, Gehenna, that place that we know of as hell. That's it. But the day of judgment is going to be that day when all souls are before God, and it will be determined then what the rewards and punishments will be for eternity. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, we see that the doctrine of eternal judgment is one of the foundation doctrines of Christianity. Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. So the doctrine or the teaching in the New Testament about the resurrection and of eternal judgment, or all that's taught in God's Word, that's part of the foundation. Those are among the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. So it is one of the foundation doctrines of Christianity, and it should be no surprise to us that along with those other foundation doctrines of Christianity, that the teaching in the Bible about the eternal judgment is under attack by Satan. Well, why would Satan, who's going to be judged himself and spend his eternity in that lake of fire, but why would it be in his interest, according to what he is doing, why would he want to attack that foundation doctrine of Christianity and our faith in what the Lord teaches about eternal judgment? Well, if we're not thinking about that there's going to be a day of judgment, if we're not mindful of that fact, that we're going to have a very short life on this earth, and that we're not going to have a do-over, we're not going to be able to come back and redo it or have a second chance. We're going to have a very short time on this earth, and then one day we're going to be judged by our Maker according to how we lived our life on this earth, and then we're going to be sentenced for eternity, either to heaven or hell. Now, would the devil like for us not to be thinking about that? For us to cruise along in this life thinking we're going to live forever, there's never going to be a judgment, that we're not going to be answering for the things that we've done in this life? Well, he would love to have us deceived on that and not think about that, because then we are going to be very easily led down the wrong road, that broad road that leads to destruction, because the devil desires that we all spend our eternity with him in that lake of fire. It's God's desire that we spend our eternity with him in heaven. But a big part of our being prepared for that is to be mindful of, to know the teachings of the Scriptures about eternal judgment. Acts chapter 24, verse 25. We can see that Paul, the apostle, brought that that particular point of teaching to Felix, who was a Roman official that was keeping Paul in prison at this time. But in Acts 24, verse 25, it says, "And as he," that is the Apostle Paul, "reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" Now that song that's entitled Almost Persuaded, we sing that quite frequently. Which comes from that particular phrase comes from a couple of chapters later in the book of Acts, in Acts 27, when Agrippa, Paul was ultimately brought before King Agrippa, Herod Agrippa, who, when Paul was preaching about the resurrection of the dead in his presence, said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." So that's where we get that phrase that's in the title of that song. But that song, Almost Persuaded, also quotes from Acts 24, verse 25, about on this convenient day I will call. Well, that's what the devil would like for us to do, try to put this out of our minds. Wait for a time when it's more convenient to think about. Well, when is the time that it's going to be more convenient to think about that we're going to be before our Maker and that we're going to be judged by Him? If we don't want to think about that now, when is that going to become convenient to think about it? That's really not going to be something convenient to think about if we're not doing the Lord's will, or we have no intention of doing the Lord's will. So the Apostle Paul reasoned, and he was teaching those foundation doctrines that we're reading about in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. Righteousness. Here's what's right, here's what's wrong. Here's what the Lord says about what's right and wrong. Temperance. We better control ourselves and do what's right. And judgment to come, because we're going to be judged accordingly one day, and then we're going to face an eternal sentence. That made Felix tremble to hear. Well, it should make all of us tremble to think about that, especially if we're not doing what's right. The Lord has determined what's right and wrong, and we find that in His Word. If we're not doing that, we're not ready for the day of judgment. If we're not controlling ourselves and doing what's right, we're not ready to be judged by our Maker. And that means if we are before Him in judgment not ready, then we're going to end up being sentenced to spend our eternity with the devil in that lake of fire. Well, that would make anybody tremble who's in that position, and it should. That's one of the reasons the Lord teaches us about that and warns us about that. But we better not be like Felix and then say, well, whenever it's convenient, I'll call you back and hear more about that. Because we're not going to want to hear about that at all if that's our mind. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." That's not convenient to think about in a lot of cases. But it's very important and necessary to think about right now while we have a chance to prepare ourselves. Because this life is short. Our time here on this earth is, as he puts it in James 4, like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We're here a very short time, and we're going to have our life on this earth come to an end, and it won't be long. Even if you're young sitting here and you have most of your life ahead of you, it goes by so fast. It doesn't take long to start to appreciate how fast those days go by. But even if you're young and you think you're going to be here forever and it's a long time, it isn't. Our time is very short here. So all of us need to be thinking about that fact and getting ready for it. Being ready for that end because it is appointed. There's an appointment we're all going to keep. Our life on this earth is going to come to an end, whether by death or by the return of Christ at the end of the world. But our time here is going to come to an end, and then there's going to be the day of judgment. I mean, what if the trump blew right now? The Lord tells us that He's going to come with a shout, and then the trump of the archangel is going to sound, and everybody's going to hear Him and see Him when He comes in the clouds at the end. I mean, that could happen before I finish this sentence. I mean, we don't know when that's going to be. We don't know when we're going to die. And how many people have met their death with absolutely no expectation that whatever that moment was going to be that moment? It happens so often that way, probably most often that way, that there's that warning or knowing that the end is in front of us. So often there is no such warning. But our life will end. But what if it were today? What if that time comes just in the next few minutes? Well, we need to think about that. Because we don't want to put off preparing ourselves like the devil would like for us to do. There are many doubters and scoffers that are doing doing Satan's bidding to try to deceive people to not believe in the judgment to come so that they won't prepare for it. The devil has those in his service that are spreading his lies because he doesn't want us to have that time of reflecting on it or thinking about it. He doesn't want us to tremble and then do something about it. He wants us to put it off, put it out of our minds, wait for a time that's more convenient that'll never come. In Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 17, those false teachers that were there in Israel at that time, he says there that they were saying, "No evil shall befall you." That's the quote there in Jeremiah 23 verse 17 from their false prophets. "No evil shall befall you." These people were doing wickedly, and they had false teachers telling them, "No evil will befall you. You're not going to be judged. You are not going to have to answer for this wicked conduct, this behavior." That's what they were telling them. It was a lie. They didn't believe the judgment day would come, but it will. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, they were mockingly asking, "Where is the God of judgment? Where is the God of judgment?" That hasn't happened yet. And how many people are thinking and saying in words that are very similar to that? Where is the God of judgment? Well, the God of judgment's in heaven right now. And those who question or scoff or doubt or mock that there is a God of judgment and that there will be a judgment day, they're going to find out. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36 tells us that only the Father knows exactly when that day will come, but that day will come for sure. Matthew 24 and verse 36, Jesus said, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." But that day will come, that day and hour will arrive. Only the Father knows when it will be, but it will happen. Now, what will be the events of that day? Well, we started off in Revelation chapter 20 a while ago. if we can go back there to that chapter now, Revelation chapter 20, and let's take note of verse 3, verse 13 again, where he says that death and Hades deliver up the dead which were in them. So at the end of the world, Hades, the unseen world where the dead go after this life, they will be given up. That is, the resurrection will occur. Every spirit that's there in the unseen world in Hades, they're going to return, and those spirits are going to return into the body for a resurrection. A spiritual body will be given, a glorious one for those that are the Lord's. Those that are not will be given a spiritual body, because otherwise how could one spend eternity anywhere without an eternal body? So there will be a resurrection of all on that day. Jesus taught about that fact also in John, the Gospel of John in chapter 5. If we can turn to John chapter 5, in verse 22, Jesus said, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." So the Father's going to use His Son on the day of judgment to be the judge. Just like the Father created all things by His Son in the beginning, the Father has committed all judgment to His Son, so the Father's judgment will be through Jesus Christ on that day. Verses 26 and 27, "For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man." What's the reason why the Father has given that that responsibility, or that role of judgment to His Son? It says because He is the Son of Man. We're going to be before our Creator. And Christ, the Father created us through Christ. So Christ is our Maker. We're going to be before Him, actually sitting on that throne on the day of judgment. But He is the Son of Man. He was here made of flesh just like we are. Will we have anything to say as far as questioning the judgment? You don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like to be tempted. You don't know what it's like to face these things. We can't say that, can we? Every mouth's going to be stopped. There's going to be no answer to that. He is the Son of Man. So He was here. He is God's Son, but He was the Son of Man. That is, He was a partaker of flesh. He was tempted in all points as we are. Remember Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Yet without sin. So He faced it and overcame it. So nobody's going to be able to say to the judge that the judge doesn't know about the temptations of the flesh. Acts chapter 17 and verse 31, the Father has given assurance that Christ is going to be His instrument of judgment of all mankind by raising Him from the dead. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 says, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because..." So the commandment from God is for everybody to repent. We better remember that righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. If we haven't repented, we should tremble. But we better repent. God commands it because, verse 31 gives the reason, He hath appointed a day, this is the day of judgment, in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised Him from the dead. So the Father has given assurance, a guarantee that He is going to, there will be a day of judgment, and Christ will be the judge. His resurrection of Christ from the dead is His assurance, His guarantee, His promise that He's going to use His Son to judge the world. So what should we do then? Repent. He's commanded all men everywhere to repent. So Christ is going to be sitting on the throne of His glory. He's going to sit and judge the world on His white throne. We read that to start with in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. And everyone who ever lived will be gathered there on that day. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23, Hebrews 12, 23, He says, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." He is referred to there as the judge of all. Is there anyone that's going to be given an exemption on that day? No one. Revelation chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. He says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us. We will all be there. Is anybody going to be able to bribe their way, buy their way out of it? Is there anybody that's going to be given some kind of a pass or an exemption on that day? No one. We will all be there. Everyone will be bowing before Christ on that day as he will be the judge. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Philippians 2, 10 and 11. It says that at that time of the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So again, he says, every knee will bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Will there be anyone doubting as they are kneeling before him? He's on his white throne. They're facing him in their judgment. Is anybody going to be denying that he is who he is at that moment? No. Everyone is going to be confessing, you are God's Son. And that will be to the Father's glory. So all those that mocked him, all those that rejected him, all those who have not believed in him, that have ever lived, on that day, they're going to be acknowledging and confessing with their tongues while they're on their knees exactly who he is. What's the big problem for them, though? It's too late then, isn't it? If we haven't done his will, if we haven't believed on him and served him and followed him in this life, it will be to the Father's glory that everyone that's ever lived is going to acknowledge and confess who he is. That will be to the Father's glory. But is that going to help the ones for their eternity who didn't follow him? It won't. So when are we going to do something about that? Or when is the opportunity to do something about that? Well, of course, it's now. Well, what's the purpose and basis of the day of judgment? Why is there going to be a judgment day? Well, that's going to be the day which the Father, through his Son Jesus Christ, is going to determine and express what are the exact rewards and punishments for each soul. We're all going to give account of our lives, of everything we've done. And then God is going to determine, based upon that, judging us from those books, whether according to our works, exactly what we are going to receive as a reward and why, or what we're going to receive as a punishment and why. So that day is going to be very necessary for that purpose. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 18, Revelation 11, 18. It says, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. So there he's describing the day of judgment, when God is going to give reward to those who served him, and going to sentence to destruction those who have not. So that day is going to be that day for God to make everyone give account, and so then he's going to determine those rewards and punishments. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, 41 through 48, he says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Well, the Lord is going to come. Who's going to be blessed when he comes? The ones who are so doing, those who are doing his will when he comes back. We need to think very, very hard about that. Not just put that off and wait for it to be a more convenient moment to consider it. We need to think about, what if the Lord came right this moment or any moment in time? Is there any moment in time where we would just rather not that be the time that he come, or that our life on this earth comes to an end? If we're doing things, if we are thinking about something, if we're talking about something or saying something or doing something, that we would not want him to become, and that be what we're doing at that moment in time, we better not be doing that at all. We need to quit doing those things. When he comes back, what should he find us doing? He should find us doing his will at whatever moment our life on this earth comes to an end. We need to be doing the Lord's will at that moment. Well, what's the way to guarantee that that will be the case? If we're doing the Lord's will at every moment, We should have no time when we're not doing the Lord's will. So anything that we would be ashamed to be doing if the Lord came back, we should be ashamed of doing that right now anyway and stop doing it. So in Luke chapter 12, verse 41, his servants will be blessed when he comes, the ones who he finds so doing his will. That's verse 43. And then verse 44 says, "Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord hath delayed his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, from him they will ask the more." Of him they will ask the more. So the Lord tells us there are going to be degrees of punishment, as there will be of rewards, as the Lord teaches in other places. Not everybody's going to get the same reward or punishment. Now, there's only one of two places. We're either going to be getting our reward in heaven or be getting our punishment in hell. So there's going to be one of two places where everybody's going to go. But as far as what they actually receive as a reward or punishment in those places, that is going to be different for every individual based upon their works. And the more we know and understand of the Lord's will, the more he's going to hold us accountable for. The more we know, if we don't do his will, then he's going to punish us more severely than those who were ignorant. But that doesn't mean it's the way of escape then is to choose ignorance, because what happens to those who didn't know the Lord's will? Well, they didn't know it. If you don't know it, are you going to do it? No, they didn't do it. Where are they going to spend their eternity? In hell. They won't be punished as severely as someone who knew more and understood more and still didn't do it. But they're still going to be in hell and punished in hell. They're going to be spending their eternity in the lake of fire. So is there any bliss in that ignorance? None. But it's far worse to know and then not do the Lord's will. Well, we all that are sitting here, we have much more to be held accountable for than most others of this world. We've heard and we've had the opportunity to hear of the Lord's will quite a bit. And so if we don't do it, our judgment's going to be severe. But that's not the way to look at it, unless we need to. The way to look at it is we have the opportunity to learn more of the Lord's will and understand it so we can do it. And the more we understand and do, then the greater our reward in heaven will be. And so that's what we need to be striving for, that we will please God in everything, so that we will be rewarded greatly on that day. Well, what's the Lord going to use on that day as his instrument of judgment? Of course, Christ will be the one, the being there that the Father uses. But when he committed all judgment to the Son, does that mean that the Son is just going to arbitrarily decide who's going to go to heaven or hell, and whether any upon whatever basis, as a whim? No, of course not. He's going to judge the world in righteousness, as we read there in Acts 17, verse 31. So he's going to do the judgment rightly. Well, how is that going to be done? Well, we already read about it in Revelation chapter 20 a while ago, when he mentioned those books that he's going to have that are going to be opened on that day. He says, "And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." So there's the standard of judgment. The books. We have the books of the New Testament, which will be the gospel of Christ, is going to be instrument of judgment. Is going to be the standard of judgment on that day. John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus made that very clear. In John 12 verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So in Revelation 20, he said the books were opened. Well, here he says the word that I have spoken. Of course, it's divided up into a number of books. The New Testament has 27 of them. But it's that gospel of Christ, the New Testament. Those books of the New Testament are going to be open. That's the standard that we're going to be judged by. Now, of course, all those other books of the Old Testament, he commands us to know those things. That's going to give us the wisdom that we need so we can obtain that salvation. That's our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But ultimately, the law that's going to be the standard of judgment is going to be the gospel of Christ, the New Testament. Well, out of those books of the New Testament, where we're taught what is right and what is wrong, what we should do and what we must not do, he's going to use that and then judge us according to our works. Here's the standard. Have we done it? And he's going to go through our lives and each thing. Well, have we done his will in that? Were we doing his will or were we not doing his will in that? And according to this standard. So he's given us exactly what we need to know. Is that fair? Is that right? Will that be a righteous judgment when we know exactly what we're going to be judged by and we have the opportunity to prepare ourselves for it according to his teachings? Yes. And then, of course, that book of life is that other book that is written that will be open there. If we've done his will, our name will be written in that book of life. When we are in Christ, if we are when we are become a Christian, when we're baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. That's Galatians 3:27. That's also the moment when our sins are washed away. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and also Acts 22, verse 16. That's when we are saved from our sins. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. 1 Peter 3:21. That's also that moment in time when we're added to his church. That's Acts 2:47, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. That is also when we are written in heaven. Our names are written in heaven. Hebrews 12, 22 and 23. That's in that book of life. Whoever's name is not found written there is going to be cast into the lake of fire. We read that in Revelation chapter 20 a moment ago in verse 16. So we need to have our name written there, which it is written there when we become a child of God, when we become a Christian, when we're baptized into Christ, having obeyed that commandment that he gave in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, commanding all men everywhere to repent. When we repent and are baptized into Christ, that's when our name is going to be written in the book of life. Now, of course, we have the warning in Revelation chapter 3, the letter to the church at Sardis in verses 1 through 6 of that third chapter of Revelation, that our name could be blotted out of that book and will be if we are not keeping his will. So we have to get it there, and then we have to keep it there. But that comes by doing his will. Now, the question for you this morning is, have you done his will? Are you ready? Have you prepared yourself for that great day of the Lord's judgment? If you have not, this is an opportunity right now to come forward and to obey the gospel of Christ so that you can be in Christ, the one who you will be facing in the judgment. You can confess your faith in him right now and not put it off until you're doing it on your knees before him in the day of judgment when it's too late. But you can come before him now and confess him before men. Confess your faith in him, obey his gospel, repent, be baptized, and you will have your sins washed away, and you will have your name written in heaven. And then if you will continue to do his will and serve him and follow in his footsteps, you will be prepared to be with him for all eternity with all those who are given that crown of life. Are you ready to do that this morning? If you are, we encourage you to come forward right now while we stand together and sing.